Judge Hinkle, in his ruling, said that the founders of the nation say in the preamble to the Constitution that the goal is to secure the blessings of liberty to themselves and their posterity, saying liberty has come more slowly for some than for others. He framed this as a ruling around liberty. What was your reaction?
Well, it made a lot of sense to me. Liberty and equality are the two key themes here, and both are part of the doctrine of the what we would call the doctrine of the 14th Amendment, involving due process and equality under the Constitution and under the laws of the United States. So liberty is one of the two or three sort of key themes I would expect a judge to rest his decision on.
He also follows in the footsteps of other Florida judges and other federal judges around the country in making this decision. And most of these rulings seem to flow out of the Supreme Court striking down DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Can you explain their legal reasoning in regard to that?
Absolutely. Justice Anthony Kennedy, who has been the quote-unquote pro-gay judge, I guess, in all of the Supreme Court opinions that have gone in favor of rights for same-sex individuals and others, but LGBTQI individuals. His basic argument has been since the beginning, and this began in a case in 1996, Romer versus United States in Colorado, where the voters passed an amendment saying no further laws can be passed to protect gays and lesbians in special ways in public accommodation, housing, education, and so forth. And Justice Kennedy's main argument there, and it has remained that through the Lawrence versus Texas case in Texas in 2003, and then the case last summer, Windsor, his argument was that there is no good reason for a law to separate this class of individuals simply because of their sexual orientation and lifestyle and to apply the law differently to them. And without even a basic government reason for that, there's nothing here but basically a pretext for discrimination. And Judge Inkler said the same thing. Inkle said the same thing.
Yeah, he says, and I'm quoting here from his ruling, when observers look back 50 years from now, the arguments supporting Florida's ban on same-sex marriage, though just as sincerely held, will again seem an obvious pretext for discrimination. Observers who are not now of age will wonder just how those views could have been held. He compared it to the decision upending the ban on interracial marriage.
Yes, and that's been the primary, I guess, precedent for virtually all the decisions across the country. There have been 70, roughly total, 20 or so at the federal level, and then 50 or so in different municipalities and at the state level. I think North Dakota is the only state where there hasn't been a challenge brought. But it has been virtually unanimous that the argument has been made based on the Loving versus Virginia decision of almost 50 years ago that ruled bans on interracial marriage to be unconstitutional.
And we'll go to your calls in just a moment as another federal judge in Florida throws out the state's ban on same-sex marriage. What are your thoughts? The number to join us, 549-2937. Now, Greg, State Attorney General Pam Bondi will appeal this decision. She will challenge Hinkle's order. As she has noted, she will do with other rulings from the bench. What would you say to those who really disagree with this decision and they see this as activism from the bench, overturning the will of the voters?
Well, that's an important argument. And generally speaking, the will of the voters should prevail. But we don't live in a system in which the will of the voters always prevails. There are certain rights that we consider to be basic, fundamental, central to our identity and our sense of citizenship that are protected even against the will of the majority. And this is the argument would be this is one of those. Activist judges, that's an interesting issue because usually criticism of an activist judge comes from one who does not like what the judge has done. In my view, judges have to be, as it were, activist always in the sense that they don't go out looking for claims. Claims come to them and they simply have to make the decision because that's their job. So here the judge was presented with a claim. And he had to look at the federal law and the Constitution, what the Supreme Court said in particular last summer, and ask himself whether or not this law in Florida comported with that doctrine.
And it is important to note this ruling, along with rulings around the country in the last year, they really have flowed out of that Supreme Court decision ending DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. The precedent was set there. So do you see this eventually making its way back to the high court for a final ruling that This is working its way through the states now. What's the end game?
Yes, you know, in most situations where that question is asked, I think the answerer has to give some qualification. But here I would say it's definitely heading back to the Supreme Court. I don't think anybody could say otherwise. It's it's been brought up in so many different contexts around the country. Excuse me. I mentioned to you once when we were speaking about this that it was kind of like a hot potato, and it's been passed around. It's going back to the Supreme Court, and we're going to see what they do with that potato. What's one interesting aspect of this is that even though Justice Kennedy's majority opinion was what carried the day, of course, Justice Scalia's dissenting opinion, in which he essentially predicted what would happen, has come to pass. And the vast majority of federal judges who have ruled against state bans on same-sex marriage around the country have cited Justice Kennedy's dissent, Justice Scalia's dissent, which is kind of ironic.
And what did he say in his dissent that they're citing?
Well, he said, there's no way that based on Justice Kennedy's majority reasoning, which says that public morality is not a good enough reason to maintain laws like this, if that is not a good enough reason to maintain laws like this, then there's really nothing that can stop the states from having challenges brought against their bans on same-sex marriage and for those laws to be invalidated based on this ruling. There's just no way around it.
Lots of calls. Meanwhile, what are your thoughts as another Florida judge throws out the state's ban on same-sex marriage? 549-2937. Let's go to Riverside. John in Riverside is on the air. Hi, John. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. This is Lucky John Hancock. I love politics, I love history, and I love this show.
Thanks.
Here's my thought. The education is wonderful. This is exactly what we need. But women were helped by a few men, and blacks were helped by a few whites, and the disabled were helped by a few ables. We're having an event. Your next guest will love this, but the Riverside Pride, 85% people tell me they don't even know we're having it. We have a parade on Saturday. You stand on the street and give out your business card, and they walk past you, and then you say, I'll see you tomorrow. You get out of your house. Jacksonville's gorgeous. Come to the festival. We will not make it without straight people helping us. So thank you for your help.
All right. Thanks for the call. And a call out to the straight community there this morning. As the LGBT cause increasingly, especially in this city, through the group Straight Allies, Greg, has asked for heterosexuals to become part of their movement for full equality and acceptance in this country.
Yes, that's. I would say that's where the movement or the real activity is now, and I consider myself to be a part of that group, allies in the sense that I am happy to be an ally of any group seeking civil rights where I believe equality and basic principles of fairness are at stake.
And what are your thoughts, pro or con? We want to hear from everyone this morning, 549-2937. Let's go down to St. Augustine. Hey, Tim. It's Tim in St. Augustine. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to express that I also feel the will of the voters should prevail. I'm one of the folks that voted for the protection of marriage between a man and a woman. I feel like we've gotten away from a lot of our moral values in this country that have made us great, and this is another one that really concerns me if we move away from this. So that's where I stand on. I do feel like there are other legal means for gay couples if they need some legal protections. And I just feel like the DOMA is a good thing and that we should support it.
All right, Tim. Thank you, Tim, for the call. That's Tim in St. Augustine. And Greg, what about that? Especially for those in the state that voted back in 2008 for this measure defining marriage as heterosexual only, they would agree with Tim that they don't like the judge overturning what they feel was their decision.
I understand that. Tim raises a very common argument, and he raises it well. It's a difficult issue. I don't think anybody should be fooled into thinking that there's an easy answer one way or another. In other words, I think Tim and I probably, it appears, feel differently about this, but we both have strong moral convictions about it. The difficulty is deciding whether there is some sort of neutral line where we can say, you know, everything on one side is fair and everything on the other side is biased or partial or activist. This is an issue that is very difficult that way because, as I mentioned earlier, and as Justice Scalia has mentioned, and he's kind of echoing what Tim says, when the majority of the people in a given community feel that morally something is wrong, that usually carries the day. That appears to be what then leads to the answer of, well, then that supports a law that protects.
But that's what's changing because
yes.
Fewer and fewer Americans now feel or view homosexuality as immoral.
Correct.
And that really is the divide.
Yes, and that is changing, but it's not clear. I don't know what the polling would say today about the residents of Florida. But Tim is correct to point out that certainly when the amendment was passed, 62% to 38% voted in favor of defining marriage in the conventional way. So I think philosophically it comes down to the sort of separation of church and state, because the government issues marriage licenses and all the many benefits that go with marriage without attaching those to any religion.
What about what the caller just said, that why not the argument of why not just have legal protections for same-sex couples, but reserve marriage for a heterosexual couple? What do you think of that argument?
Well, I think there's a lot of appeal to that argument in a logistical sense, because it would allow for a lot of benefits and other things to be implemented more easily. On the other hand, it sounds a lot like separate but equal. And I think that's what the main argument that those who rely on the Loving versus Virginia decision would say is, if it really is the same thing, then why can't it be called marriage?
And what are your thoughts as another judge in Florida strikes down the state's voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage? The number to join us, 549-2937. Let's go to Ed in Orange Park now. Hi, Ed. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Question. I think some people have a concern, not even that they have a problem with the two males and two females ending up getting married, is that once the cat is out of the bag, why not polygamy? Why could you not have several adults, several men, several women, whatever combination you wish, who wants to get married? Why not? And then, since there are financial benefits to a marriage contract, why not two brothers and two sisters if they think there's a financial widow type of survivorship benefit coming along? Why not?
All right. Thanks for the question, Ed. That's another argument that has been tossed out. What about that? In particular, the polygamy argument. Of course, there are polygamists in this country. It is illegal, but there are polygamous arrangements in this country. In particular, I want to say out west in
yes.
Utah.
Yes.
What about that, though?
Well, and just as a personal point, my ancestors are polygamists, and I've done a lot of research on that. I am not part of a polygamous situation myself, but if you go back a few generations. That's an your callers are asking all the right questions, it seems to me. That's going to be a difficult question. Justice Scalia predicted that would also be something that the court would have to face. Now, there are several approaches that one could take. One is that the court could simply say, we are going to maintain the privilege for couples, and same sex, different sex, what have you. It's couples that create
two people,
an enduring parents and an enduring family. Now, of course, someone who is arguing from the other side, such as the caller, could say, "Well, but why not more parents? Why not seven parents? That's better for kids than two parents." And there is something to that argument, and certainly those who represent polygamists out in mainly in Utah and Arizona, I'm sure, are looking at this very carefully. As to brothers and sisters, well, there are laws against consensual incest, simply because there are established empirical sort of biological problems that can come with that. So I think there's that justification for that. But it is a slippery slope. But I guess I would say every important decision that judges that the law ever makes, any line that it ever draws, opens the door for some kind of a slippery slope. There is never a perfect line that says it's easy to say what's right and what's wrong. We've always got to make that tough decision ourselves through the legislative and judicial processes.
But meanwhile, as I mentioned, same-sex marriage now legal in 19 states and D.C. More than 70 court challenges have been filed in 31 states plus Puerto Rico 5 federal appeals courts are reviewing cases now. We can expect more of these rulings throughout the rest of this year and into next year.
Yes. I think what everybody's waiting on, and the Supreme Court, in fact, just last week said to the Fourth Circuit, which had affirmed a decision out of a federal district court in Virginia that did the same thing that the Florida decision did, the Supreme Court said, we're going to put a stay on those marriage licenses, that basically marriage licenses are waiting to be produced or created all across the country, but everybody is waiting on what the Supreme Court is going to do. And it seems, as I said earlier, almost certain that they're going to take this up very soon.
If one of these cases will make their way back all the way up. And based on how they ruled with DOMA, do you see them ruling affirming same-sex marriage?
You know, my gut makes it difficult for me to say absolutely yes, because it just seems so implausible when we go back 20 years. On the other hand, if you look at the reasoning and the uniformity of opinions and how every judge has interpreted what Justice Kennedy said in Windsor, it is very difficult to see that they have any other choice.
Well, we've got lots of comments on our Facebook page. Dan writes, it's a shame that it takes judges to overcome bigotry, but I guess that's one of the reasons we have 3 co-equal branches of government. I'm glad this happened. But John writes, well, it would be nice if our judges would follow the law and not their own personal political positions. Let's go back to the phones. 549-2937. Bill in Jacksonville is on the air. Hi, Bill. Good morning. Go ahead, Bill.
Good morning. It's a great show. Love the topic. The point I'd like to make with this is, if religion becomes a major factor in how we determine the laws of the country, then ISIS is perfectly valid and legitimate, doing whatever they want. It's the same. The same rules apply would apply here that would apply to them. They believe just as fervently in their religious beliefs that anyone who does not believe exactly the way they do, they are perfectly justified to do whatever they want. And in this country, that particular viewpoint is very, very difficult for anyone to pass a law about. So if we're passing a law on a religious basis, that is something that we, all of us, with the current events that we have, need to be paying a lot closer attention to. And that's just my thoughts on the matter.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much.
That's Bill in Jacksonville. Thanks for the call. Greg Pingree, professor of Florida Coastal, let's talk about this, because people do see marriage through a religious lens, but at its heart, it's a legal contract, too.
Correct. I mean, I just want to say that Robert raised an interesting point about the slippery slope that we were talking about earlier. Obviously, his example of ISIS is sort of an extreme example of that, that if you allow religion, one's religious belief to always trump any other social concern or value, then somebody who wants to kill in the name of religion is going to be protected. As you say, marriage in this country is a state function, not a religious function.
And even though many people choose to get married in a house of worship.
Of course, but they must get a state marriage license as well for it to be valid under the law. If the government ever starts to get in the business of connecting it to religion, then we're basically working our way backwards to what we moved away from when the country was founded and what the founding fathers were thinking about.
But socially, people still see marriage as a religious thing, many Americans, and their opposition to same-sex marriage is faith-based.
Absolutely. Well, there were a lot of people whose opposition to integration was faith-based. There are still people who feel that way. We live in a pluralistic society. I think that's the bottom line. We live in a society where everybody has the promise of being protected on certain things, but everybody doesn't get everything that they want. And that's, we have to live with that. Otherwise, we're basically moving towards a theocracy.
Chuck on the West Side. Hi, Chuck. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning. I just wanted to ask, what would be the legal choice that a priest or a reverend or a pastor would have if they didn't want to perform these kind of services, but yet it was the law that those kind of services are legal? Would they be forced to do it? Could there be lawsuits that they didn't want to have that kind of service in their church.
Yeah, thanks.
And I'll take my answer off here.
Thanks for that question, Chuck. And we're already seeing that play out with couples in other states who have, you know, tried to get a wedding cake, and a business maybe didn't want to make one for a same-sex couple. That's another legal area, gray area.
Yeah, and those have to do with the New Mexico case about the wedding cake and others. Those have to do with employment or public accommodation or business situations where the arguments are somewhat different. But as to Chuck's question, there's no way, in my mind, that a church could ever be forced to perform a same-sex marriage. They're completely separate functions, and I don't think
there's any... And it's a private institution.
Absolutely. That would never happen. That's not even a close call. So that's not a concern that I think people need to be worried about.
You don't see that becoming a thing.
No.
Joel in Jacksonville is with us. Hey, Joel, what are your thoughts? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I think this is a very important topic, and I appreciate the comments I've heard. I come from a more conservative evangelical type background, but I have to admit my thinking on this issue has evolved, and it's evolved mostly because in recent years I've in the workplace I've gotten to know people who are from the lesbian and gay community, and I see these as people that have lives and families, and I do agree they deserve rights and protections too. I guess the one question I would ask, and this is probably more of a philosophical question, is truly where do we in the future draw the line? And the example I'd like to give, which sounds very extreme now, but in 2014, I think most people would say that sexual contact between an adult and a child is wrong. There are actually organizations in this country that are pushing those kind of agendas. So I guess from a legal perspective, I would be concerned, we should carefully consider how we craft this from a legal perspective as we go forward with, you know, how we determine marriage rights and relationship rights.
Thanks for the call, Joel.
Well, Joel makes an excellent point. Let me suggest a way in which we can distinguish those. Justice Kennedy, again, his basic justification for the decision that he made that all of these other decisions have followed was that there is no good reason that the government has offered except for the fact that a lot of people don't like this. And that alone is not enough when it comes to something so basic as the fundamental right to get married, which is considered in many ways to be the paradigm fundamental right under the Constitution. The judge in the Florida case said that. When it comes to children, there's not consent involved, and we've established very well over the centuries in our law that consent has to be something that only adults can make that's appropriate to the context. And we also know that there's a lot of harm that is done to children who are involved in sexual and intimate relationships with adults. And so those are actual reasons that the government could point to and say, there's harm done to people. It's much more difficult, the thinking goes here, to say, where's the harm? The judge, in fact, in this case said that what does it harm opposite-sex couples who marry conventionally and in their religions? It touches none of those things for same-sex couples to be married by the state.
Autumn in Ortega. Autumn, what a pretty name. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My question is, well, it's more of a comment. I've always kind of wondered why marriage has become such a religious institution, or it is such a religious institution, and why we couldn't have some sort of a state-mandated legal civil union for everyone, and then the people who wanted to get married, in addition to that, in the church, could have that, and that way there wouldn't be a problem with, you know, the people who are concerned about people who are homosexuals getting married in the church or forcing the churches to marry them or that kind of thing. I've always thought that a marriage should be mandated, like, at the justice of the peace. It shouldn't be a religious thing by the state.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for the call. That's Autumn over in Ortega.
Well, I'll respond to Autumn. She raises an excellent point. It's kind of a catch-22. I mean, on the one hand, callers like, I think it was Tim earlier and others, were rightly suggesting that marriage has its roots in religion and moral values. There's no question about that. But over time, you know, there are other things we could say that about. Over time, the government has decided that we need to separate ourselves on some things and keep the religion and the government separate. So whether we call marriage the thing that the state gives to everyone and then religions call what they do something different, or religions call what they do marriage and we call what everybody else gets under the state something different, it becomes kind of a semantic game. But it does raise those separate but equal questions, and it kind of gets to the question of who owns the meaning of the word marriage.
And LGBT couples are arguing that they in particular, they want the legal and financial benefits that come with marriage equality,
right.
Estate planning, visiting your partner in the hospital, wills, custody. I mean, there's a whole range of issues, benefits, and there's a lot that goes into this. Let's go to Amanda on the West Side. Amanda, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Very interesting conversation y'all are having. I just turned on the radio, and I just want to say I am not really for or against. I'm kind of neutral. I feel that, you know, everybody has their rights, and I also think that if God created us all, then he's created gays. I don't understand homosexuality myself, but I feel like that if this is the way they are and they can't help it, and I think that they should be able to live their life the way they want to, that we all have our rights, the civil rights things you all were speaking of, that... that as long as they're not hurting anybody else, and I think that I like Ellen DeGeneres. I like Ellen DeGeneres, you know, and I think there's a lot of good people out there that are homosexual. I think it comes down to all of us living together and, you know, live and let live, as long as people aren't harmed. I think there's a lot of gay people that would be better parents than heterosexual people. There's so much abuse and neglect that goes on in this world to children, that if a couple, same-sex couple, could give a child in need a loving home, I'm all for it. And I used to be against that. My thoughts have changed.
Thanks, Amanda.
And I've watched everything change.
Amanda, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry to cut you off. It's just we're running a little short on time. She's like a lot of Americans, Greg, in that her thoughts on this issue over the years have changed. And you see that in the polling. So your final thoughts?
Well, my final thoughts, one would go to what Amanda said, which is if God made everybody the same, then who are we to deny them rights? And really, that kind of raises the question of whether being gay is a choice or whether it's an immutable characteristic, because in our law, we've always said things that people can't change, things like skin color, for example, or nationality, should not be the basis for any kind of discrimination. And we work very hard to prevent that. The debate over whether or not homosexuality or other unconventional kinds of sexual identity are chosen or not, to me, it seems we're moving in a direction where it's not so important to say whether it's genetically based entirely, but that it's just so deep in someone through nature and nurture that really it ought to be protected as a basic right. I mean, religion is protected in most situations as that kind of a basic right. And of course, for most people, religion is a choice.
Well, as always, it's great to have your thoughts and analysis. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Greg Pingree is a professor with Florida Coastal School of Law.